This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
We'll go check, Nebo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and today I am joined by a returning guest who I always love talking shit with. You know her as Bravo Historian. You've listened to her podcast. You follow her on Instagram. Please welcome Samantha Bush.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I love your new like background.
Yeah, thanks. I'm in the stew today, as Lala and James would say. I just love to be in the stew.
In the stew.
Making magic.
Mm-hmm, making beats.
Yeah, I saw James Kennedy when I was in LA a couple weeks ago, like walking through a parking lot, and I just wanted to like follow him and see if he was going to the stew.
Oh, he probably was.
I don't know if he spends much time in the stew these days.
Yeah, I don't know what he's up to. He's crazy.
Whenever I see him post about his like DJ gigs, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's still happening. I forget that he is like allegedly an active DJ.
Yeah. And then his new girlfriend. It's just really wild how hot and heavy they are right now.
I know. He's like very splashy with her on the
gram. I'm like, I don't know how you go from being with the love of your life to like being obsessed with it. It feels phony baloney.
Did you see that Stassi revealed in her new book, which I mean, I don't know if this is like actually fresh tea, but that she said like officially before the pandemic, there was like a Vanderpump Rules OG spinoff in the works.
Yeah, I did see that.
We all like knew that kind of, right? Like that doesn't feel, maybe nobody ever like confirmed it, but it's like, this is not information that is in any way like breaking my brain.
It's not hot tea. Like I'm not. You know, I'm not like, ooh, like how exciting. I was like, yeah, okay, moving on.
I can't do the Stassi anymore. Like, I'm not even like mad at her. I don't even hate her. It's just like, I don't care.
No, she dresses her daughter like the colonial woman on the wing of a plane in Bridesmaids. Like, it's so weird.
Hartford at her second birthday is going to be like churning butter.
Yeah, that's going to be, she's going to like do Bridgerton theme, but like really go for it and do like churning of the butter and like. I can't do the Stassi thing anymore. I do periodically, and I will say I don't follow her, but I do check in with her. Like, I'm just like, I wonder what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I will be honest about that. But like the second book, I mean, I feel like she just had a contract to fulfill. Like, I feel like I don't know who would give her like a legit book deal after everything that happened.
Well, I also feel like she probably hasn't had much of a check to cash in the last couple years. So like, I don't know.
Did you see Jax selling his old vintage crew necks?
Sneakers and crew necks. I like that he has the comments turned off on that Instagram page. So you can't see, like, he's like, DM me if you have any questions. And it's like, babe, that's like what comments are for.
Right.
But we're not doing that because he would get roasted. I also have seen Britney's Jenny Craig commercial, which honestly to me, I'm like, good for her. That's a legit brand deal, and like I believe she wants to lose weight post baby, and so that seems like a no-brainer. People are like dragging her for it. I'm like, honestly, that's like the most legit. I've seen people be like, lol, Britney's so desperate, and it's like, you would do it too for a check.
Are you kidding? I would wear a diaper for a check. I don't give a fuck. It's better than selling like her old sneakers that smell like the inside of a Subway. Like,
yeah, out of all of the Vanderpumpers, I feel like that the Jenny Craig commercial is like the least cringe thing I've seen any of them do.
I saw your Instagram post and it made me laugh about the baby parties, their birthday party.
Oh, all the cakes. Yeah.
All the cakes. I really loved that. I was like, because it really like, it's so funny to me to see because their kids are like all the same age. So to see how the mom's personalities are like bleeding into how they are with their kids. It's so funny to me. Like to see how Stassi dresses her daughter, and then you see Summer Moon, who's like
A Coachella such themed a birthday party, basically.
Yes. It's just like, oh my God, of course.
I know. I do feel like I have like deeply mixed feelings about whether I want to continue keeping up with that crew. Like in a way, I definitely don't, but also then I'll be like, oh, but Sheena, like Shishu.
I have such a love-hate relationship with them. Like, I would like to continue watching them and their lives like unfold, especially now, because now I feel like they have like the most legit drama that they've had in like years going on in their lives. So I would like to see that, but it has to be a different show. Like, it cannot be Vanderpump Rules. I cannot fucking pretend to care about Charlie. I cannot pretend to care about Raquel. Like, I just don't. Yeah. I got to move on.
Yeah. And when Tom and Katie announced their breakup, which is like a few weeks ago now, people were like, oh, they better be filming. And it's like, babe, they're not. They're just not.
It's so crazy. Like, because we would have heard by now if it was getting picked up again. The cast has even been like, we don't know. Like, so basically, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Like, I think people don't think about the fact that it's like whenever these shows are actively filming, we pretty much always are aware in some sense. Like, maybe we don't know the exact day that cameras have gone up. But like, if Southern Charm, if the whole cast has been hanging out for 2 months filming out and about in Charleston, that doesn't just go unnoticed. Like, you and I and a million other people, we spend our entire lives online watching stuff like this unfold. So it's like, again, I basically know where the Potomac ladies went to happy hour yesterday. Like, you're going to know. So like with something like Vanderpump, it's like the second that show goes into production again, if it does, like, that's not going to go just unnoticed.
Well, and also like this is around the time of year that they would start filming. Like, they really start filming in May to like August, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. Like you said, this is what we do. This is our job, to follow the lives of these people. And I mean, I love it. I'm not complaining, but like, we're really tapped in. So like, if they were filming, we would know.
Yeah.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Speaking of shows that definitely are coming back, Atlanta is coming this weekend. I've watched the premiere. I know you haven't gotten to watch it yet, but the taglines just dropped right before we started recording.
Yes, literally right before.
Do you have a favorite tagline, Sam?
I really like Sheree's.
I love Sheree's. Spring, summer, or September, I'm the one you always remember. Like, yeah, come on, welcome back.
It's so good. And then I love Marlo's because, number one, it's her first tagline. And number two, I just think it's good. I just like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think Marlo is
poised to have such a great season.
She's almost center peach.
She throws the big all cast event in the premiere, which is exciting.
A big deal. That's a big deal.
In her like first confessional of the season, she starts to like introduce herself. She's like, "I'm Marlo Patrice Hampton. I'm from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida." And the producer stops her and is like, "Marlo, they know who you are."
Yeah, like you've literally been on the show since season 5. Like, we're fully aware. We know about your life. Like, we're very tapped into what's going on with Marlo Patrice Hampton. And I just fucking love her. And then when they did that montage of like all of her like really iconic reads, I was like, God fucking bless her. I love her. I think she's like one of the most stunning people on television. I can't get enough of her.
Yeah. I've always been a Marlo fan, and I'm excited to see her really be able to like take up space this season aside from just when she's arguing with somebody, because like seeing her with her nephews and stuff, which we see a bunch even just in the premiere, it's like, it's so nice. And I love seeing her as like a three-dimensional person versus just like a messy person on. Right. Yeah. But I'm very excited for Atlanta. But when one door opens, another closes, and we've now said goodbye to Real Housewives of Orange County for season 16. And we got to talk about this reunion because,
yeah, of course, Dylan, what I need to know, like what you thought of the season just as a whole, really quick. Like, I'm very curious because I respect your opinion.
Yeah, look, I think this season was just fine. I think some people were really, really negative about this season. And I think that is a little bit blown out of proportion. But then I also saw some people being like, this, like, I love this. It's such a total 180, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think the truth is, it's like, it was like a medium season. And I don't think it was certainly an improvement over season 15. And I think that first and foremost, congratulations to everyone involved, because you took a sinking ship and, you know, started to bail out the water and patch up the holes. And I think that's not an easy thing to do. But like, I think this season was just missing kind of compelling conflicts and storylines. And I think in the reunion we saw on part two, this Noella versus everyone thing. And I think we need to salute Noella for how much she was willing to kind of get into it with everyone this season. But I think also watching this reunion, it's like, oh yeah, like not that much like happened. And I think that's kind of what we need to work on moving forward, is like a mix, not just like you can have compelling personalities and that's great, but you also need to have like some substance going on.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. I was so relieved when they said it was only going to be two parts. Now, I think it could have been one, but, you know, I was really relieved that they didn't like stretch this out to like a three-parter. I would have killed myself, to be quite frank with you. Because as much as I like enjoyed it, but like you said, like it was down bad for like a few seasons. And then, so that's hard to just like come back and like revamp. Like we're slowly going to get there. And I think that that's really good. Heather, she's insufferable. I never want her off my screen, but I think she gets in her own way sometimes, like where she makes it so impossible for anyone to have any dialogue with her that it's like, can you like stop talking to people like that? Like, it's so fucking rude. The way she talked to Andy, I was like, and I'm supposed to believe that you wouldn't shove people into walls?
Slamming people into walls in my house.
Exactly, like that. Like the way that she talks. I'm like, you are your mother and you're so scary.
I really appreciate the way you just laid that out, that it's like, you're not necessarily Team Heather in the sense of like being a fan of her, but that you appreciate her being on the show and don't want her to be fired just because she's not your fave.
Right.
I think like, that is like missing sometimes.
People are like, fans could like take, you know, take a, you know, a page out of my book. Is that the saying?
Yeah.
Page out of my book. But I went into the season like really not so sure about Shannon. Yeah, put a pin in it. Like, what am I even saying? I really went into the season like really not sure about Shannon. I was like, oh, fucking Shannon. Like, are we going to have to? I came out like her biggest fan, her warrior. I will go into battle for that woman.
Wow. Shannon needs that.
Shannon needs that.
And I think Shannon, for me, I feel a little bit similar maybe to how you feel about Heather, that Shannon kind of drives me up a wall. Of course. I sort of think she is really obnoxious. Yes. But at the same time, I would never, not never, but like at this point, I'm not like angling for her not to be on the show, because I think what she has that this show really needs is actual genuine connections to the other women. She has history that we know about and care about. And she has, she's one of those people that is like easy to root for, but also kind of easy to make fun of. 100%. And I think that is like, that's a perfect thing, because depending on the situation, depending on who she's arguing with, depending on who's being mean to her, you can really go back and forth on like, oh, I feel bad for her, but also she sucks, but also she might be right, but also she might be wrong. Like, I think that's the kind of personality, and that's the reason she has been on this show for so long, is that like, you can really go through a journey with Shannon. And I think there are some people, like with Dr. Jen this season, I think with her, it's not even necessarily that I hate her or think she's like the worst housewife ever, or, you know, like, I think people are being a little bit maybe overly mean to her.
I totally agree. I enjoyed her. I wish I got, like, I wish that there was a little more. Like, I wanted to constantly, like, pull more out of her.
Right.
Because when I did see the, like, drama with her husband and stuff, I, like, wanted more of it.
Yeah. And so I think for me, like, that's the thing with, like, somebody like Shannon, it's like there's a whole journey happening. Whereas, like, with Dr. Jen this season, I wanted that more from her. And mm-hmm. I felt like it wasn't giving me a lot to sort of dig into and unpack. And I think the difference between Dr. Jen and Noella this season is that Noella, while I think a lot of the season she was pretty annoying, or, you know, didn't seem to be necessarily bonding that well with the women in the group, I feel like there's a lot to unpack there. And that is what makes me feel like if she comes back next season, it's like, yeah, let's dig into some more of those layers. I feel like Noella could take me on a journey.
Oh, Noella's going to take you on a fucking trip. Like, it's going to be like a psychedelic trip. Bronwyn's mom's going to give you some drugs to take. Like, with Noella, I am so obsessed with her, and not in a way where I'm like how I feel about like Dorinda, like where I just genuinely like think she's amazing television, like great, or how I am with like Dolores, who I just think is like everyone, I want her to be my mom. I'm fascinated by Noella because like I never know what's true. I never know what's false. I can't stop looking at her. I think she's so like glossy and like beautiful. And I just, like, love how much she drives these women fucking crazy. Like, when she said that she met her ex-husband on Seeking Arrangements, the look of shock on everyone's faces, I was like, are you guys serious? Like, in this economy, like, I will go on Seeking Arrangements.
I respect that.
I respect it. Who cares?
Honestly, I have thought about it before, and then it just seems like a lot of work, and so it's I don't so follow through. But, like, there is no part of me that thinks that's, like, shameful or weird. It's just honestly I'm jealous.
The confidence that you have to like go on Seeking Arrangements and be like, I'm a hottie and I'm gonna get this man's money, like, is icon. And she did, and I'm like, I respect it. Now, does her boyfriend Bobby look like the guy from Sons Charlie of Anarchy? I was like, has she seen Charlie Hunnam?
The way the editors putting the side-by-side photos of them together, just Wow.
It got me good.
I actually think this reunion was, if I had to like grade the season and then grade the reunion, I think the reunion was better than the season as a whole. Just because I really liked that. I love a two-part reunion, like you were saying. I'm very glad that they kept it to two. And I felt like everybody, with the exception of maybe Dr. Jen, it's like everybody on the reunion I felt like had stuff to talk about. And yeah. I thought that the Noella versus everyone segment was very interesting. I liked seeing Heather and Shannon really get into it again. I think Gina and Emily had some good stuff to unpack. I liked Emily's kind of like legal perspective on part one. Like,
love
I thought this was overall, it wasn't like an all-time best reunion for sure, but I thought it was like a pretty strong reunion for a season that was like just fine.
I agree with you. I do. Because I didn't hate the season, but I wasn't dying over it. It wasn't like, you know, oh my God, they're giving us everything. But, and I liked the reunion because I feel like they all, like you said, had something going on. And I thought that was interesting. And they all had stuff going on with like one another. Like they each had a thing with someone. Like someone had a problem with someone. I like that.
What are your feelings? I've seen more and more in the last few weeks, more and more mixed reactions to Gina. I felt like earlier in the season, Gina was like very kind of on top of the pyramid. People were really loving her. And I don't think necessarily like everyone has turned on her at all, but I think some people have sort of gotten tired of her. And I'm curious where you are leaving this season.
I'm tired. Yeah. I was never like a big Gina fan. Like I think for a while, like I didn't really get her. I was like I just never was like invested. But she also came around in like a weird time where I was not really into Orange County because of like the Bronwyn stuff and the Kelly Dodd stuff and the COVID stuff. Like I just was like not very into it. And I was so excited to see her this season because she looks amazing. I could tell she's in a better place. Like I was excited for her. And then she just got real arrogant and just her thing with Shannon just really bothers me because I don't get it. It feels, and then Emily saying that Shannon is jealous of Gina and Heather. I'm like, no, Emily, I think you're jealous of Gina and Heather because Heather's stealing your bestie. She's also annoying. And the way that she throws in her accent is very Brittany from Vanderpump Rules, like where she really amps it up, like occasionally to like, I don't know, to get sympathy or whatever. And I don't like it. She looked great.
She does look great. I think Gina is one of those people who it's more flattering for her when she is in a little bit of an underdog position. And I think this season, she started out really strong. And then I don't want to say Shannon was like 100% right about her ego being out of control, but I do think you could tell as the season went on that she felt really secure in her place in the group, especially with Heather. Mm-hmm. I think she really was feeling herself, which there's nothing wrong with, but I think the way that that translated to her interactions with the group and especially with Shannon, it makes her a little bit less likable. And I think maybe that's normal. Maybe that's normal that like as a viewer, when you're kind of feeling like you're the number one girl in the group, I'm going to be a little bit less like sympathetic or less kind of giving you the benefit of the doubt. But I think that if we're going into next season, I think maybe it would be a good idea for her to kind of watch it back, take some notes, listen to a little bit to what people are saying. And I don't think she needs to like put a pin in her head and deflate her ego, but just like, just keep that in mind a little bit that it's like, it's not actually the best look for me when I'm saying that Shannon has no friends.
Yeah. And just the constant, like the weird thing in the cave. Like I was like, I don't know what the fuck she's doing. And the whole exorcism. I don't like when housewives do weird, like
the Tommy knockers. I was like, I don't care about this.
Like, shut the fuck up. I was like, I'm going to go do laundry while you like release the demons.
I was way more into like Noella wailing by the creek with her
screaming
leather phone strap around her neck.
Dylan, I'm obsessed with her leather phone strap.
I'm obsessed. It's so long.
When she was in bed and like whipped it, I was like, yes. What is that?
It was
and
so
then
long.
I realized it was attached to her phone and I was like, do I want one of those? It was like so crazy.
She had it in the hot tub too. I'm like, what's going on?
I just couldn't make heads or tails of what was it. I'm like, how is it attached to it? Like, it was so funny. I love like little stuff like that that just like gets me. Just
I know
makes me laugh.
You were texting me yesterday, speaking of little stuff like that, you were texting me about Louis's jacket on the season finale of New Jersey. And I had to go back because I knew what you were talking about, but I was like, let me just go back and soak it in. So it's this like he comes to the last dinner on the last night wearing this black jacket. He's wearing a white V-neck t-shirt, like a very basic, could be a Hanes t-shirt for all we know. Mm-hmm. His dog tag necklace that has a heart on it, a big heart on it, which is to each their own in the jewelry department. And then he's wearing this black blazer. And on the back, it has like a spine up the middle of like sparkles.
Sparkles.
Glitter, beads, gems, I don't know what it is, but it's like
crystals.
It looks like something that like a man who doesn't like to dress that exciting would wear to the Met Gala.
Yes, it's awful. Like when he turned his back, I was like, whoa, what is this? Like I was so excited because like you said, there's a lot going on. There was a lot of jacket stuff this whole week in Bravo because we got Carl's weird, you know, jacket that looked like was spray painted at the pier in Florida, like Fort Lauderdale. Like I was confused. And then we got this jacket and I was like, what the fuck is he wearing? Like, and you know, Teresa thinks it looks so hot. Like she just thinks like
for him.
She probably did. And really quick, this wasn't this. This wasn't this episode, but I did have to laugh at the editors when they were doing a tour of the house. They just like zoomed in on the Buddha in like the bedroom. I was like,
oh my God,
where are we? Like, what is it Dorit's Buddha lounge? Like, what is going on?
Of course, there has to be a giant, ugly Buddha in the new Judice household.
Oh my God.
Watching the Jersey finale, I just felt like, I was talking about this on my episode yesterday I had with Jordana from Betches, and like about how it just didn't feel like there was any sense of closure like we would normally get on a Housewives finale. And the way they ended it so abruptly, still on the trip, it really was like, I felt just very like unsettled. I was like, they're like cutting to watch what happens live. And I'm like, what?
I don't think that I've ever seen a season end where they're not like in their home base. I was like, wait, we're still in. I thought it for a minute. I was like, wait, did I miss when they came home? I was so confused. And then I was like, oh, no, they're still in Nashville. Okay, cool. And there was no closure. And I don't love that. I did like seeing Jennifer end the episode like with the rest of the girls and not like with Teresa and just them. That made me feel good. But Jennifer's back on fact, her bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jennifer is in a really tough spot. But at the same time, I think she is kind of, I feel like now would be the time to sort of jump ship from Team Teresa a little bit if there was ever a time, because I mean, I don't want to like speak out of turn, but it's like, I don't know if Teresa is like the forever rock of this show the way that she has been in the past. And like, you know, I feel like for somebody like Jennifer, I feel like she has limitless potential still on the show. Ugh. And like, if you really like tie yourself too closely to a sinking ship, like that could be dicey for you. Like mm-hmm. somebody like Margaret or Jackie are going to be less inclined to sort of welcome you back into the group if you've mm-hmm. like gone so far the other direction defending Teresa.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of, you know, tough spots to be in, us, we're fighting for our fucking lives, Dylan, on the internet every week. You and I are like, because it's like, I think you and I have a good understanding of like, we see the gray area. Like we're not like so anti-Teresa, but we're also not like the stans.
Yeah.
And because they're terrifying, the Teresa army, they're not tree huggers. It's an army. It's a full, it's a fleet.
Yeah. Tree huggers implies they're like friendly.
No, they're the scariest people on the planet. Like truly. And this idea, like, because if you go back to like one of the very first episodes of the season, Jennifer said to, I think, Melissa, I don't fully remember, but she was like, I wish I had like what you guys have with each other. Like, I wish Teresa had that with me. Like, I just, you know, because Teresa's not going to be loyal to Jennifer. So Jennifer's going to be doing all this work, backing her up. And Teresa's like literally going to throw her under the bus whenever she can. She does not care about Jennifer.
And I think especially it would be one thing in a past season to say that, oh, Teresa might not be that loyal to Jennifer. But I feel like Teresa now, more than ever, she's being extremely clear that her one and only priority is protecting the love bubble. And so it's like, I feel like in the past, she at least would act like she was going to be there for Jennifer if she needed her. She's like, yeah, 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 I'll support you. I support. She claims that she's been very supportive of other women when that she's trying to get them to wear her leggings. TBD on if that's real. But like now, I feel like she has fully just jumped ship on pretending that anybody in this group is actually her priority, because she will not let anything get in the way of her and Louis's happiness, which I respect and I understand, but I also think is a tough look.
It is. And here's the thing. We all want the best for Teresa. We all acknowledge that Teresa is literally the strongest woman on the planet. We understand that she went through hell and she was married to a literal human garbage can. And then her parents died. Like, we feel for her. That's why I think we're so cautious about him. And if I had a friend, now Dylan, you tell me if you would feel the same way. If I had a friend constantly talking about a love bubble, I would call her parents. And be like, we have to talk about this. She keeps talking about this love bubble. She sounds fucking crazy. I would be so concerned. It's like when one of your friends keeps telling you how happy they are. You're like, are you?
Yeah.
Because you sound fucking crazy.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where earlier in the season, when she had maybe thrown out the term love bubble once or twice.
Right.
It was like, okay, yeah. Like, you're in your, I feel like it's an equivalent term to like honeymoon phase at that point, that it's like,
totally,
we're very happy. We're in our honeymoon phase. We're trying to just like enjoy getting to know each other, whatever. That to me is like normal, fine. Every couple in theory kind of goes through that where it's like, yeah, like you're really like loved up right now. As like the Daily Mail would say, they would be like Rita Ora and Taika Waititi are loved up. But then you get to a point, and I feel like as the season has gone on, it's like the love bubble to Teresa is like a very specific thing that she is very purposefully constructing and defending and protecting. It's not just like the idea that she and Louis are very happy. It's like the idea that she and Louis are happy, and that's the way it's going to be, and nothing in the world could possibly be more important than that. So if anything she senses as a threat to that is going to be like immediately annihilated and removed from her life. And I think that's where you're saying comes in, where it's like, obviously you don't want people to be talking shit about your relationship. That's normal.
Yeah.
But like, she is so laser focused on that to the point where it's like, It makes me worry, because even if things are really good right now, which I'm willing to sort of take at face value, it makes me think that if something comes up and is not really good in the future, that she is going to have the blinders on so much that she wouldn't be willing or capable of recognizing that or doing anything about it. And that is what scares me, because it's like, then, you know, look what happened last time. Like, you went to prison and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I want her to be happy in a way that's, like, real and positive and good versus, like,
I want her to not be happy dumb.
And you better not say I'm not, because then, you know, you're going to get canceled out of my life. Like, I just want it to be, like, an actual positive relationship. And I don't think, like, defending the love bubble at all costs is like, it doesn't seem.
No, I just want healthy. Her to be smart. Like, I just want her to like learn from what she went through. And I think it's okay to question things. I don't think it's like the end of the world. Like, And I feel bad for little Joey Gorga because, like, he cannot fucking win. Like, he wants the best for his sister. He wants her to be happy. But he also is like, dude, you got a lot of, like, weird things going on in the internet about you, about, like, abuse and stuff like that. Like, that concerns me, and that you would be dumb to not be concerned by that. So It's crazy. It's like, I want her to be happy, but like you said, I want it to be real and I want her to be smart. And when she said on Watch What Happens Live that they wouldn't get a prenup, and then stupid fucking Gia was like, yeah, I don't think that they should get one. It's like, aren't you going to law school? Like, what are you fucking talking about? Also, did you not see what your mother went through with your dad? And like you said about, you know, how she's like protecting it so much that it's like, what else is really going on? Because she did that with Juicy Joe, where like he never cheated on her. He was the best husband. He was the best this. He was the best. And it's like, we then find out that that's not true at all.
Yeah.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
On Arts Educators Save the World, we talk with artists and their mentors to discuss the transformative work that happens in arts education. We began with Lin-Manuel Miranda and his elementary school music teacher, and mine, Barbara Ames.
The direct education we got from Barbara, it was life-changing.
And since then, we've spoken with Cecily Strong, Josh Radner, Annalie Ashford, Robert Lopez, and so many others, each with their mentors. Join us again as we begin season 2 of Arts Educators Save the World, available everywhere.
What are your thoughts about Shannon and John Jansen? Because that's another relationship where I feel like, okay, that's another relationship where I feel like in a less concrete way than with, like with Louis, there are specific accusations, stories, whatever out there. With John, I feel like it's always been a little bit more of like a thing of just like vaguely like, is he such a good guy? No. And I don't know. I feel like we're really being told to believe it at this point.
I don't even think Shannon is selling it like that well. Like, there's something about their relationship that is so weird to me. And I just don't see him as her forever person. I just don't. And I don't know what it is, because, again, we don't know much about him. Like, I mean, I know that his dad didn't talk to him. That's it. But just like the way her daughter's kind of said like, oh, and then you'll be alone. Like, they didn't even consider him to be like a part of her life is weird. Something is off.
That was a red flag to me when that her daughter said that. And then in her confessional, she's like, and of course they don't want to be alone, which is why I'm glad I have John. And it's like, why are you thinking about being alone then if you're like happy and living with this guy and you talk about getting married and all of this stuff? Like, to me, it's not even so much that I have like specific concerns about John the way I do about Louis. It's more like it doesn't feel like Shannon really buys into it as much as maybe she lets on. And I mean, like when she's talking about like, I never knew that I could, that it could beat this good, that I could like what, like that I could get fucked this hard. Like it just feels like, it's like, what are you trying to sell us on right now? Cause it's not as convincing to me as I think she thinks it is.
Well, and then with Gina at the reunion being like, I can't believe that you let him talk about me like that. Okay, Noah, call me crazy. Dylan, am I wrong? I didn't think it was that insane. He was just like, fuck Gina. Like, don't be friends with her.
I was like,
I don't get it.
I forgot that happened until they were talking about it at the reunion. And this was on the finale. It was like 2 episodes ago. I forgot that even happened. And then they were talking about it. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, he was aggressive toward Gina. And then they showed the clip. And it was like, oh, I mean.
He was talking about Gina. He wasn't aggressive towards Gina.
Right. And like, to say, like, fuck her, we're done. Like, that's not, like, nice. But there's a difference between, like, right. There's a difference between, like, not nice and, like, aggressive in a scary way.
Right. And, I mean, you know, as much as he was the devil, a.k.a. Brooks, I mean, him and Vicky were in love. And no one can tell me anything. They were in love. They fucked. Like, he got her good. I don't get that impression from Shannon and Mr. John Jansen. I feel like she just, like, doesn't want to be alone. She doesn't want to be, like, the pathetic divorcee, because, I mean, David's out there living his whole separate life. Yeah. And that is so sad to me. Like, what is this issue? Like, why can't Shannon just get a break?
I feel like, yeah, I think that it's kind of twofold with Shannon, that it's in her real life off camera, she doesn't want to be alone, which is a very right. normal human thing. Totally. But then I also think she probably is extremely aware and focused on how things look to the public and how things look on the show and to the other women on the show. And that, you know, she went through this divorce and John is supposed to be her redemption.
Like knight in shining armor. Like yeah, a handsome that, guy that like loves her. Yeah.
And that it's like, no, that's how it's going to be. Mm. And, you know, all of a sudden, if she and John were to break up, which I'm not saying they're going to, but like imagining they did, then it's like, did Gina win? Like, is Gina doing better than I'm doing in her small, sad house? And is everybody going to think that David is doing better than I am with yeah. Leslie and the baby, that he doesn't talk to his kids? And is everybody going to think that I'm sad because this didn't work out? And that kind of makes me sad for Shannon, because like, I understand her not wanting to be alone, but I hope she's not making life decisions based on like being scared of looking pathetic on TV.
Yeah, because I think if like she came out of this relationship, they broke up and she was like, listen, like this is the truth. This is what happened. People would be rooting for her to find love again. Like people love like a comeback story.
People were rooting for her after she finally divorced David. Mm-hmm. I think people honestly like we saw them go through so much that I think once it finally ended and Shannon was able to accept like, yeah, like we're not gonna be together. People were like so in her corner and wanting her to do great. And I think the thing with her relationship now is that it's like, I want to be happy for her, but at the same time, I don't necessarily feel 100% like she is as happy as she's telling us she is. But you know, no, I don't know.
I don't feel it. Like, I don't feel the like love between them. Like when I watch them together, I'm like, these are just two people standing next to each other.
Like, I get way more, like, to me, Gina and Travis, I'm like, good for her. She seems
she's happy.
So happy. You can tell he fucking loves her. And their kids seem great together. They seem mm-hmm. very happy with what they have and what they have going on. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like on these shows, it's like, you can usually, I mean, I don't want to say you can always tell exactly what's happening, but it's like, you can get a sense of it. And
yeah,
it's the same like with Dr. Jen and Ryan, like whatever she's telling us, unless I see otherwise, I'm not going to believe that things are like going great.
No. When she said that we watched the show and we're really working on things now, I was like, they're not. And I mean, what are your feelings about Emily and Shane?
I honestly, no complaints this season.
Wow.
I have done such a 180 on both of them.
Totally. Because
I really, post season 15, when there was so much discussion about what's going to happen with OC, I fully was including Emily in the list of people that I thought could be kicked off, never seen again, good riddance.
Yeah.
And this season, I enjoyed Emily so much. I think she really not only did I like her more on a personal level, but I also think she played her role in the cast really well. And when they're like, is she a shitster or a truth teller? I'm like, both, and good job to her, because that's exactly what we need. And I think with Shane, I don't know exactly what it was, but it just felt like he kind of gave up on like being a dick a little bit.
Or like, and it always felt like he was kind of like being,
softened. And like in the past, it felt like he was kind of being an asshole, like for sport, like just because he thought it was fun.
Yeah.
And I think this season, it really felt like him and Emily were more on the same wavelength of like, we can like poke fun at each other or like be dicks to each other, but it's not in a way that it feels like, oh, my husband hates me.
It was like I got their rapport suddenly. Like I was like, oh, like this is like how they talk to each other. This is fun. It didn't feel like dark like it did before. And I just really fell in love with Emily. Like I liked her, I think, her first season, and then she got kind of weird for me. But this season, I thought she played her role, like you said, perfectly. And then also, I just think she's so beautiful. Like, I love...
She looks great.
She looks great.
I love when they were... When they were talking about who had what work done at the reunion.
Oh, my God.
And Shannon's like, well, I got a facelift 5 weeks ago, and they've never cut so much fat out of a neck. And Emily's like, I just worked out. Which is... It's funny because, like, we know Emily has had work done as well. Like, it's
right.
But, like, her reunion prep was like, yeah, I feel like I hit the gym. I don't know.
Yeah, she was like, all right. And then just... Shannon just overshares. And I think that that's just something I find so relatable about her is, like, she just really just goes there. Like, we didn't need to know that. I don't think she planned to say that, but there it was. We knew that the fat got sucked out. It's like, okay.
Before we wrap up, I want to get you on the record for season 17 of Orange County.
Okay.
Are you feeling a Tamara comeback? Are you feeling anyone else coming back? What's your vibe?
I want the same cast, even Dr. Jen.
Okay.
And I want Tamara, because Tamara... I just love her, my little Tammy Sue. I am very interested to see how she does on Ultimate Girls Trip. I think that that will really cement my decision. And I would love to see like more friends of. Like I want the group, not, I don't want like more people holding oranges, but I just want their circle to get just a little bit bigger, because I feel like that is where things could really get good. Like if they brought more girls on girls trips or something, I don't know.
Yeah, it felt this season, it did feel very much, last season was COVID-y, so I understood. But this season, it did feel very much like, at once Nicole James, left the equation, it was very much like, these are the only six people that exist in this
world
bubble. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that I think kind of expanding the circle, and even like a couple seasons ago, they were in kind of a fun place where it was like, like one of them went to lunch with Alexis, or like Megan King Edmonds came on for a second, or like, you know, somebody would crop up here, and it was kind of fun. Like, I like having that kind of like, even if they're not friends, like off camera, just feeling like there's kind of like a universe that they're existing within.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I would enjoy having that back a little bit. I'm on the Alexis Bellino train right now. I'm angling for that in some way, shape, or form. Heather, it was Heather's idea. She said it on Watch What Happens Live.
Alexis Bellino?
Alexis. Heather and Alexis are friends. Tamara and Alexis insane. Get along now. I'm into it. Maybe even just like as a friend of, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like drop in with her for a minute.
But yeah, I think in general, there's potential for OC still.
I think so too.
I'm not like down in the dumps post this season.
No, I'm honestly, this is so weird to say, the only franchise I'm worried about is Salt Lake City.
Yeah. That's it. And they just wrapped season 3.
And that's tough to say when you've got one person like potentially being indicted. So.
Well, it's just hard to, at this point, it's hard to, with Jen's trial getting pushed back, it really is hard to like envision on the calendar how that's going to play out, because they just finished filming season 3. So unless they really, really turn the production schedule upside down, they're not going to be filming this summer when she goes to trial. Or if they, I mean, maybe they'll film a little bit of extra stuff, but it's like, they're not going to be in production.
Yeah.
So that's just,
I just have a hard time with them. Like, I just don't, there's no one really on the cast that I'm like, oh my God, I love her. Like, I really root for her. I'm just like,
I really need to see the newbies for this season and what's going to be up with them. Because there's a few women, you know, Angie Harrington, there's another Angie, there's somebody else. Like, I need to see kind of like how they pan out, because I do think, I mean, Jenny, who cares? But like losing Mary Cosby, it's going to be, they're going to need to kind of like find that energy somewhere else. And that's not necessarily an easy ask.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we don't know what we had when we got Mary Cosby. We really didn't know. We took it for granted.
Hate to see her go, but love to watch her walk away.
Yeah. Like, I was ready to kind of get rid of her, to be honest. Right. But I'm sad because she's so kooky.
I know. But, you know, lots to come. And, you know, you'll have to come back on when Salt Lake is back, because I'm sure we'll have thoughts.
We'll have so many thoughts. I mean, we're getting so much Bravo this month.
Beverly Hills, Dubai's in a month. You know, much, much to watch.
So much. Our schedules are jam-packed.
It's a full-time job.
Literally. Because then you got, like, Twitter, you got social media, you got this. Like, you got Watch What Happens Live. It's a lot, you guys.
Well, I'm waiting for... I need some a Southern Charm premiere date. That's, like, my thing. I'm like, okay, I know when all the Housewives are coming out. Like, where's Madison?
I'm excited for that.
I know.
I'm really ready.
Now that Summer House is ending, I feel like Southern Charm should be coming right down the pipeline, right? Like
I would assume.
Because now they kind of just like feed into one, feeds
they
into
like
the
bleed
other.
They like bleed into one another, yeah.
For better or for worse.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel anymore. Craig blocked me. Paige unfollowed me.
Okay.
It's a lot going on.
So the only place you can see him is on next season of Southern Charm.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining me today. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Well, you guys can find me on Instagram at Bravo Historian. You can listen to my podcast that comes out every Tuesday and Friday called Hot Off the Mess. And of course, I mean, like, if you are unhinged like me and you are on Twitter, you can follow me at Take Your Soul Left.
One of the less frustrating people on Twitter, I would say.
Thank you. That's so kind. Twitter is not a safe space.
Not a safe space. And can't wait to see what Elon Musk does with Bravo Twitter.
It's going to be wild.
Well, this has been so fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.